Hi podcasters, this is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking to Spanish sculptor Marta Dominguez. She's zooming in from Spain. I found Marta when I saw her series of cow sculptures, which I thought were super rad. And then I found that she does them all with recycled newspapers. I was like, wow. And then in this interview, I found out she's an engineer. This interview continues to blow my mind. Enjoy. I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
You there?
Yeah.
Hi, Marta.
I was just clicking on some permissions for you to record. Video is fine so far, but I may try to disconnect it in case I see there are any blinks or something.
Okay.
I can see a photo, a picture of me with my sculptures. For your cover you want.
Cool. Yeah, I just post the audio.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're doing well?
Yes.
Awesome. Well,
thank you for having me. And
yeah,
and above all for showing interest in my art project, the cow alter ego project.
Yeah, I was so excited when I saw the cows because they're so great. And then I read that I didn't realize that it was called Cow Alter Ego. So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, they are not just simple sculptures of animals.
Uh-huh.
Well, in a sense they are, but I try to find something else in each of the sculptures.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, is that I try to see what's the emotion that each one of them is able to convey to others.
Yeah.
So for instance, I know that it may sound a bit of a pretentious thing to say, okay, how could represent love with a cow?
Right.
But to have a cow that represents that emotion.
Yeah.
And it goes the same with different emotions. And well, actually it was sort of a process because it was just after I finished one of the sculptures, and I have a few of them, and then I had to take the pictures. And of course, with different perspectives of a sculpture, you have different meanings also.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
And then when I discovered this alter ego thing, I mean, it was not in the first creation of this sculpture.
Right.
So it was interesting for me also as a creative process.
Yeah. And we should back up a little bit. I want to talk about how you do your sculptures, and you do them with recycled newspaper.
That's right. Yeah.
So how did you come about that process?
Well, actually, I started this sculpture just about 20 years ago.
Wow.
Before that, I did all in painting. I mean, since I was a very early age.
Uh-huh.
Then there was a moment when I had to, because of my eye disease, I had to move from painting to no art at all, or changing the medium. So I decided to change the medium because I couldn't live without art, without creating. Yeah, so I first started with clay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same sort of clay for kids.
Yeah.
That sort of material.
Right.
Because it was easy. You don't need kiln or oven. I mean, it dries with air and so on. Right. So the problem is that it creaks very easily.
Yeah.
So you can have a permanent work of art using that material.
Right.
And then is when I just met some people in Barcelona who were using papier mâché.
Okay.
And they were using that technique to create dolls. So for me, I mean, the theme of dolls didn't make any sense.
Right.
But then I thought, well, what if I could use that material?
Right.
Not the same way that they do with papier mâché, but creating kind of, something I can mold, a material I can mold with my hands.
Right.
And this is what I do. So I take old newspapers. I strip all the newspapers into tiny bits, and then I put these tiny bits into water, and I use a glue. So there is a special quantity of water and glue, and all together it makes something that I can mold with my hands.
Yeah.
So the same thing that it was plastiline. Mm-hmm. But it's not oil-based. It's actually water-based.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you switched from painting to sculpting when you realized you had an eye problem. And that's because you were using your eyes too much, to restraining your eyes when you were painting?
Yeah, that's right. For painting, I need to focus too much on, specifically because I've been doing figurative art all my life.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's the level of detail, probably, that it was not good for my eyes.
Okay.
So that's why with the sculpture, I don't need to focus too much on that scene.
Right.
Because I do some of the sketches by pencil at first, but then most of the time I just work from memory.
Okay.
And that makes the process also very interesting, because it's not copying from a live model or the sketches, the different sketches that you have done, but it's something, trying to build something from two dimensions into three dimensions using your mind. So somehow I enjoy it that much. The problem is that I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, just from looking at that sketch, it looks pretty well, but then it has to build that three-dimensional thing into my mind.
Yeah.
And it's my mind who tells my hands what to do each time. So you see, I mean, because in the end, it's like you have plastiline. I mean, if you don't have a fun idea of the object you want to get into three dimensions, you will get lost.
Yeah,
so
that's
a bit about the process.
That's amazing. And that kind of reminded me of, I found this was just a quote, I guess it was a quote from you on one of your Instagram pictures. And it said, to start creating, you need to deal with uncertainty. To start creating, you need to deal with uncertainty. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, that's right. You need to deal with uncertainty in order to get something that as an artwork really is truthful. It means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And this is what all the masterpieces from history of art are about.
Yes.
I mean, the reason that you can look at, I don't know, for instance, for me, Velázquez, I know it's from painting, but Velázquez, El Greco, Modigliani, I mean, they are such an inspiration. I mean, the work of art meant something completely different in their times that they do right now.
Yeah.
Many people. And still, they are valid, and because they are, there is beauty in there. And just because there is beauty in there, I mean, it's true. I mean, whatever they are trying to convey is true. So
absolutely.
Sometimes I find this question, like people telling me, oh, so what are you trying to convey with this work of art? And sometimes I don't have just a black and white answer.
Right.
Because as I said with the course, I mean, at the very beginning, I just wanted to make a call.
Yeah.
And why did I want to make a call? Well, I remember that Manet, there was this time in the days that he had to pay some bills or whatever. So he started painting sparrows. And he said, well, why is it that I'm painting sparrows? Well, I had to pay the bills and I can express a lot of things just by painting sparrows. It's as simple as they are. So if you look at his paintings of asparagus, is a very interesting exercise. I mean, you see the light, you see the composition.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the a message he tried to convey is I have to pay the bills.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
This is not very artful for us, but it means a lot of things when you look at this. Well, even if you look at it through Google and you get it in your screen, I mean, they are so powerful. So
yeah.
the same thing was with the cows. I mean, it was afterwards that I discovered, okay, I tried, even if it was not my first intention, when I have this cow and it's different from the other cow, I mean, there is something else I can try to put together. And this is part, of course, of the narrative of the art when I express, the description. But again, I mean, it may mean something completely different to different people. And I think that's a good part of art as well.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, like, because you had said, like, because I love the titles of these, like Waiting for Godot, Cow in Love, Happy Thinking Cow. And it sounds like they're like so, like, they're like, there's some like meaning behind it. And there may be. But but I love that. It means I have to pay the bills. No, I think that's the deeper meaning. I think that's great. And yeah, and I've asked different artists, like, what if someone, I love that like an art can mean like totally different things, like different people can look at it at the same painting and have a totally different takeaway.
Yeah.
And does it ever like, if the meaning is so off from what you intended it to be,
yes,
does that ever bother you?
Actually not really, because, I've been always very I don't know how to say it, but whatever I've read about different artists from the past and even contemporary artists, and they were saying, okay, this is what I wanted to transmit, the message I wanted to get through, and whatever. I mean, I always have been looking at my own creative process. I said, how is it possible that he or she can put into words something that in art is not that easy? I mean,
right,
you know that you are in front of art when you are doing something, and most of the times you don't know what you are doing it. So this is this concept of flow in art.
Mm-hmm.
So this flow in art, you need to, at least in my experience, you need to let it go. I mean, whatever it takes you, and see then at the final piece, and then you can start using your mind, I mean the logical part of your mind, and say, so why is it, or why, or what, or where can I go with this specific piece in terms of an artistic project or whatever. But no, I'm just curious about what it means to different people.
Yeah.
Because from the very beginning, I'm always very open to things. There is something that I discovered, and is that the moment you put beauty into things, there is just one thing that everybody from different background will come up together, is that, okay, how beautiful this piece is.
Yeah.
So they don't really get into the afterwards. So this is what it conveys to me, but how beautiful this piece is. So right. For me, that's the part I get from the people watching the artwork. Yeah.
I think that's the first thing that hits me, is like when I look at them, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. This is so beautiful. And then like it has to take me, it takes me a minute to kind of like switch into gears, like, oh, well, what does that mean to me? Like how do I relate to this?
Yeah. So,
I totally get that.
Because I think there are different languages. This is actually related to a personal investigation, personal research I'm doing with for my PhD.
Oh, wow.
And it's trying to understand. Well, it's going to take me a bit, because it's not an easy topic. And I want to really understand how the language of art can be used in things in which we usually only use our rational part. For instance, how to be more creative.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to be more creative at work, whatever your job is,
right.
Most of the times you are asking yourself questions. So you are using the logic.
Yeah.
So you want to go from point A to point B. So what processes or what type of processes should I pursue to go from A to B? I mean, but all that is part of the logic.
Yeah.
Of the reasoning of our mind. But mm-hmm. in art, there is not such a language.
Right.
In art, all language is about mental images.
Mm-hmm.
Mental images that can be somewhere deep down in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, but they are somehow, and it means something for you. It can be an image from when you were 8. It mm-hmm. can be something that you saw in your family pictures. I mean, different experiences that you have.
Yeah.
And that's a different language. The challenge I have here is that trying to discover how this language, the non-rational language that is being used by art, can be used for other things that, of course, are related to being more creative. It makes also being more artful be part also of the life of non-artistic persons. But as I told you, I mean, that's a very difficult project. So I'm still very early in the findings.
Oh, that's awesome, though. So you're getting a PhD in that?
Yeah, I'm trying to, but this is something I take in at a very slow pace, I would say.
Yeah, that's incredible, though. And that's really interesting. That's very, and when you were first talking and you were saying it's a series of images, and I was like, well, wouldn't it be feelings? But then I was like, no, because the image comes first. The image creates the feeling. So it's totally, it's all images.
Right.
It's all images, like
totally past,
past inspiration, past images. So yeah, you're total. That I totally get that. That's awesome.
So they are the images. They are the just before the emotions and feelings. You have this concept of evocation.
Yeah.
So it's not an image. It's not a feeling yet. Yeah. Something in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that language. I mean. Yeah. And it's an universal language.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Everybody can talk
everybody
that language.
Everybody relate to it. Yeah.
No matter the age, no matter the country of origin. I mean,
totally. Everyone understands that. Yeah, you're spot on with that. That's amazing. That's amazing. So like, how did you start in art? You said that you did painting, you did sculpture. But like, how did you, like, was that at a young age, or was that fairly recent?
Oh, this culture I studied 20 years ago, and my relationship with art since I was, I think I was seven or
Oh, wow.
something.
So you're
So
young.
I was at the very early age. I have asked myself many times why I took a pen or a pencil. Well, at first I started with a pencil, then I moved into a pen, an ink pen.
Yeah.
And the only answer I can give to myself is that I just had a paper and a pencil at hand.
Yeah.
So I took it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there was nobody, I didn't go to normal drawing or painting or art classes. I mean, I just, well, I have to say I'm a very curious person. So I have this eye, special eye to watch and see things or details that probably people don't pay much attention to. And I think as a young girl, that was the starting point. So something like, okay, I try to catch something of the reality around me and put it on a paper. I mentioned before Velázquez, and I remember doing my specific versions of some of the paintings from Velázquez, from Dalí as well. Postmodern, well, from the last century, Spanish artists as well. So, yeah, I was just curious, and if I happened to have that there was the case, an art book close to my room, I just took the art book and just well, I tried to do my own versions of the different paintings. The ones that I and actually looking back, I must say that I did very serious things, like for instance, well, most of the paintings from Dalí, the early Dalí and the early Velázquez, were religious paintings. So they were this kind of painting. So they were not really landscapes or things with many colors. But there was a lot of forms, a lot of composition, a lot of different people, a lot of different faces expressing things with your eyes, with your mouth, I mean, with the different faces. So I think for me that was the main learning in terms of art, in terms of having now this kind of ability to work from memory. Even if I'm working on cows, but I mean, I have these proportions, forms, colors, very deeply sealed in my mind. So somehow, I mean, and that was probably because I started at a very early age.
Yeah, and studied the masters. So I mean, so you've got so that's solid.
But I, again, I mean, I did my own interpretation, and I remember that was always fun for my teachers at the school. I mean, I went to a normal school, not to an art school. But whenever I had to deliver an essay or any other homework, instead of adding different pictures to the work, I just remember myself doing my own drawings. So most of the times my teachers were taking the essays with things, and I could not see my essays back anymore.
That's funny. That's funny. So you're more, I wasn't going to say visual, but like you're more artistic rather than words.
Yeah. I think that was the thing. And so, I could never say right now if I got good marks, but I don't know how much of that good marks was due to my drawings or to my wording. Probably both, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Probably a combination of both. And I was going to say that your the drawings of your, like, the people, the thin, the long, elongated thin people, they remind me of Modigliani.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I had some kind of inspiration, and that's one of them. Yeah. Giacometti has been my inspiration in the sculpture as well, because cool. I try to make even with the cows, the forms elongated forms instead of just a pure figurative forms.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's so unique. It's so unique. Why do you think you do that?
What? Taking different inspiration, you mean?
No, to make the cows, well, I guess so, but to make the cows elongated. Is that kind of taking another inspiration?
Yeah, but again, it's not something that I decided. I was not aware that I decided one day, okay, I'll write it down and say I'll go with elongated forms.
Right, yeah.
No, it's some kind of something sparked in my mind and say, well, I try this and see how it looks.
I love it. I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. And your cows are just, they're fabulous. All of your drawings are. All of them are. But okay. So you're in the, I just realized you're also in the new No Name Collective Gallery, and you know Vanessa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know her by face or by flesh. Yeah. But I mean, I got acquainted with them. I think it was in February or March. I don't remember right now. That they had this open call, and I submitted my application, and I was surprised actually to see my cows there, because well, if you are following the art, you will see that there is much interest in abstract works and also in installations, and of course my cows are not in either of those categories, so I was very surprised. Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really cool. So how big are the cows?
The cows, they are about 30, no, let me see, 30 centimeters in height, and some of them are even higher, about half a meter high.
Okay, so not huge, but like, so...
No, this is something that you can easily place in your room, or even in your living room, or right. They are also appropriate for people who want to have it at work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can have, yes, a three-dimensional work of art that every time you look at it, it will tell you something. I mean, and it happens to me as well. I mean, depending on the day or your internal mood of the day,
right.
You see different things in the piece of art. So, I mean, yeah, I don't, what, it's not something that I have tried yet. I'm not sure if the material I'm using will be appropriate for more than half a meter sculptures, or even outdoor installations.
Yeah.
Probably for outdoor installations, I would need to add a coverture, a plastic coverture or something.
Right.
So you can see still the form and the color, but it's, I mean, you can have it outdoor.
Right. For something more solid to weather the storms.
No, well, they are, they are solid enough. I mean, you can just pour water onto the sculptures and nothing will happen.
Okay.
You can throw the sculpture to the floor. It's not something that I did, but, you know, accidents happen sometimes, and then I mean, you can get the sculpture back sound and safe. One of the interesting thing about this material I'm using is that it hardens very much. It looks like bronze because of the acrylic paint that I use.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, yeah, so far, I mean, they are very durable in terms of material that you can use in different spots and different situations. Yeah, but again, I mean, about outdoor installations, I have to check. Okay, that's something I can check this summer.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've been in a number of exhibitions.
Yes.
With your cows and your other sculptures. So what's next for you?
What's next? Well, I'm actually very much excited about this No Name Collective. Thing, because this stands far more just what you can have with a temporary exhibition. I mean, this has been part of an article of a collective of different artists from different backgrounds, from different countries, and they are all trying to pursue their own idea of art. So I think that's very exciting for me. It's actually the first time that I'm joining one such a thing in the art scene. And the other next thing for me is that, well, right now I'm creating a new work of art, and I want to to go on further and see what different emotions I can get with this sculpture.
Yeah.
And of course, I try to make my art visible to more and more people, but I'm to be honest, I know that's the difficult part of the art market.
Yeah.
And I've been many years since I was 7 in the art part of the creation. But in the art market, I mean, I'm quite junior, I would say. So for me, all these things and open calls that I'm participating in are a kind of a push to pursue further different challenges. And so far, I'm just enjoying the... I think there is beauty also in there, in this challenging part of that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. So many people shy away from challenges, myself included, but there is beauty in the challenges. And I do find that a lot. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is so great. And I'm so glad this worked out. I'm so glad we chatted, and I'm so glad that you were able to connect and everything. And so what are you doing the rest of the day?
Well, for today, we need to prepare dinner here because of the time. Yeah, actually, I had a session with my sculpture. I cannot show it here because I tried to get to a place in my studio where I could get a better connection, so I cannot show it right now, but I'll put some of the pictures of how the work in progress is evolving in the coming days, so you are able to see by yourself and judge, of course, whether you like it or not.
Very
whether cool. There is beauty in there or not. That's my only purpose so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And where can people find you?
I have an Instagram account. Well, I don't spend much time in my Instagram account. I must say that. I have also a Facebook account, and I have most of my works of art in kaleido.art. You can search for me under Marta Dominguez. I also work with my alias, which is Spanish for an engineer who sculpts. So una ingeniera que esculpe, but it's again Spanish okay. for an engineer who sculpts. Okay. So and each one of them, either Marta Dominguez or my alias, you can find me on the web.
Cool, cool. Awesome, awesome. And we may have to do another podcast because I didn't realize you were an engineer.
Yeah.
So I want to find out all about that, but we'll do that another time.
Yeah, I was just actually very amazed that you didn't ask the question. So yeah, but the short story is that I'm happy doing my engineering work and I'm happy doing my artwork.
Yeah.
And the only thing I discovered so far is that I need both.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that makes very strange people or weird people than others, but I try to use both my creative part and also my rational part, that is mostly what I use in engineering. So I think that probably explains a little bit my interest in my PhD and how I'm trying to understand better the different languages, the one from art and the one from logic, because that's the, I mean, the whole, it's like having a white angel and a black angel or demon. I mean, my whole life has been trying to pay attention to both of them. So yeah. I just want to understand both of them the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll definitely do another one on that. But you have a wonderful rest of the day. And thank you so much for chatting with me.
Okay, thank you for having me. And good luck with your challenge of having different people talking about art. I think that's very much interesting because you are putting together different perspectives. And I think that makes it unique as well. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a blast. I've loved it. So, well, you have a wonderful rest of the day. And
thank
I will
you.
I'll let you know when this posts.
Okay, bye. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers.
Thank you so much to Marta Dominguez for taking the time to chat with me and sharing your unique talent. If you want to see more of Marta, you can go to her Instagram. She's also in the No Name Collective Gallery, which will all be linked on the page. Thanks for listening. This is the Hotspur Media production, music by Corey Knoxville.